You've been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And now, here's today's message.
Well, this morning, we're going to continue talking about deception, and we're going to talk about two areas today, prayerlessness and worldliness. Okay, be not deceived. And what we've learned in previous lessons, I think this is lesson number 7, what we've learned is Jesus Christ is the truth, the master of honesty, integrity, and faithfulness, that there's no darkness in him at all. There's no hypocrisy in him. There's no trickery or deceit in him at all. He's 100% pure truth. He always speaks the truth. It is impossible for God or for Jesus Christ to ever tell you a lie. Amen. On the other hand, Satan is a liar, the master deceiver and manipulator. Amen. He's full of trickery, hypocrisy, darkness, full of deceit. He's full of seduction, and you can't trust him because he lies about everything, and he lies every single day. You can't believe anything the devil tells you. Jesus called him the liar and the father of it. He made a decision not to abide in the truth. In other words, he made a decision not to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he abode not in the truth, and there's no truth in him. You can't believe nothing that he tells you. On the other hand, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And so we've learned in the last 2 weeks or the last 3 weeks that God has given us his armor to be able to stand against the deceits and the tricks and the traps and actually the methods of Satan. In Ephesians chapter 6, and that's where we're going to start. If you'll turn over there, we're going to read these scriptures here. Starting in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, you've got to have the whole armor on if you're going to be able to stand and to assault Satan's kingdom. You got to have the whole armor on. If you're going to stand against his cunning and his deceit, you got to be fully dressed. Amen. Amen. Because the Bible says in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So here we see that the armor of God consists of truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God. Amen. And because it's the armor of God, it is also the armor of love. Yes. The Bible also calls it the armor of light. Yes. And so powers of darkness cannot work in your life if you are walking in the light. Yes. Jesus said, he that follows after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. For Satan to be able to maneuver in your life and to have success, because we know he's going to form the weapon. But just because he formed the weapon doesn't mean that he's going to be successful. Anita, he might form a weapon against you, but that doesn't mean that it's going to prosper. So the key to overcoming whatever his strategy or whatever method he used against you is to make sure that you are enveloped in truth. That's the word of God. To make sure that you understand your right standing with God, that you have on the breastplate of righteousness, because it protects your heart and your affection for God. Amen. 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 You have to make sure that you're walking in peace. If you'll stay in peace, he can't touch you. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a place in God where the wicked one touches him not. There is a secret place of the Most High God. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall what? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Praise God. There is a place where 1,000 can fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left side, but it will not come near you. Amen. See, there is a place in God where you can be successful at overcoming whatever Satan bring against you. Amen. And God wants you to win. Amen. By walking in peace and then carrying the peace, carrying that gospel to people that don't know Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. And then understanding how faith works, what it is and how it works, and how you release your faith and how to trust God. That is a shield about you. Amen. And the shield of faith is a 360 degree shield that cover you in every direction. It will quench and put out all the fiery darts that are aimed at you. Hallelujah. And then the helmet of salvation, having your mind renewed that there's only one way to be saved, that there's not 10 ways to be saved. You can only be saved through the blood of Jesus, through the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. There's no other way to be saved. You can't hook up with any other religion on the earth and be saved. Jesus is God's plan of salvation. Amen. And I know that the cross is an offense to many people. They get offended when you tell them that there ain't but one way to be saved, and it's Jesus. There's an offense there. People get offended and say, why you want to say that if we don't go your way, we're not saved? Because that's the truth. Amen. 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 And then the word of God, having a working revelation knowledge of how that word works, having a respect for the word, that the word was given to us by God, that is divinely inspired, and that it is good enough, and I mean that it is strong enough for base our eternal destiny on. Hallelujah. That we'll stand on this word. We'll go down with this word. Hallelujah. It is the sword of the Spirit, which it is defensive and offensive. Hallelujah. And the word is given to us the rhema of God for close combat. It's a dagger that puts Satan on the run. Hallelujah. He don't want you to have knowledge of the word. Notice here, but Paul finished this out talking about armor. Then he said, praying always with all kinds of prayer. Praying always. Everybody say always.
Always.
Praying always with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So prayer is a part of this armor. And I'm going to show you why. Prayer is a part of it. Because without prayer, then you're basically cut off from your source. Prayer, being prayerless will cut you off from your source. And when he talks about praying in the spirit, prayer is another weapon given to us that can be likened to a lance or a javelin, which means that when Paul was talking about all the armor, the sword of the Spirit was not a large sword. It was more like a dagger-like sword for close combat. But prayer is like a lance that you can hit the enemy from long distance. That's why I can pray here and God move over in California. I can pray here and God do something in Japan. Through prayer, God can use us to launch mighty weapons in the Spirit. I can pray here and God touch somebody in the hospital. That means I ain't got to be right there. Hallelujah. Prayer is a powerful weapon that's been given to the church. And it's been given to us to defeat and to strike a deadly blow from a distance. Prayer is a weapon that is released through the mouth with the spoken word. Satan will work overtime to deceive you that prayer is not important, that you don't have time to pray, that there are other things in your life that take priority over prayer. He will keep you too busy, too tired, too sleepy. I mean, he will run you in the ground with activities to convince you that you don't have time to pray. How many of you have a devil ever used that weapon on you? You ain't got time to pray today. Prayer don't do any good. You know why people don't pray? Because Satan tell them that God don't answer their prayers. So they have no confidence when they pray. So they might say, well, I'm just a hoping and a praying. That means that I threw up something and I hope it land. I hope God heard me. But prayer is designed to create intimacy between you and God. The way you're on talking terms with the Lord on a regular basis. The way when he speaks, you hear him. And Satan doesn't want that working in your life. He will try to deceive you. And his weapon of prayerlessness is designed to cut off your life source and your communication with God. And so prayer based on the word and the will of God will always lead to victory, power, and greater revelation. Now listen, John Bunyan said this about prayer. He said, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. Prayerlessness is a sin that leads to deception. Failure to pray will open the door of temptation for the devil to get at you. 1 Samuel 12:23 says this, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. So when believers stop praying, you're pretty much tied to the hand of God, because God has to have a man praying. Yeah, yeah. Amen. You know, in the Old Testament, the Bible says that God looked for an intercessor. He looked for somebody to stand in the gap. God wanted to bless his people. And he looked for somebody that had a heart for him that would pray so that he could intervene in the affairs of man. And the Bible says, I found none. So God sent the perfect intercessor, Jesus Christ. And Jesus stood in the gap for us. And the Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for us. Even right now, he's interceding for us. Hallelujah. So prayer is so important, and Satan would like to take that weapon. He would like to take that lance out of your hand. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. That means not lose heart and give up. Tell your neighbor, say, men ought always pray. What does always mean? That means you should always have communication with God. You should be talking to God every day. Hallelujah. In Luke 22:40-46, and when he was at the place, he said to them, to his disciples that were with him, pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, I believe what he was saying was this. If you don't pray, you're going to open a door for Satan to tempt you, to entice you. People that don't pray fall into temptation. In other words, they fall into a place where they're being enticed away from the will of God. In verse 46, he said this, and he said unto them, why sleep ye? So even the disciples had a problem with sleep when it came to praying. You start praying, and boy, everybody get, I mean, your flesh don't want to pray. Your flesh don't want to pray. Your flesh want to get comfortable and cozy. Your flesh, when you get ready to pray, want to lay down. How many of y'all pray in the bed? You know why? Your flesh don't want to get up. He found them asleep. I mean, they didn't even have to have a bed. They out in the garden. They fell asleep in the garden, outside, in the elements. Jesus said, why are you asleep? Rise and pray. He said, get up and pray. That's what he told him. Get up and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So Satan will tempt you not to pray because he wants an opening where he will be able to entice you to pull you away from the truth, because that's what deception is. Deception is believing a lie, but to deceive means to lead astray into error, to lead into sin, to lead away from the truth. So Satan will want to lead you away from the truth, and he certainly wants to lead you away from the place of prayer. Listen at this. If you don't pray, or if you have a lack of prayer, it will open a door of temptation or enticement, a door of temptation that the devil will use to try to seduce you away from the will of God, particularly your assignment for that day. See, every day you get up, God has an assignment for you. Something that he wants you to do, something that he wants to accomplish through you. But if you miss that place of prayer, then you have missed a part of your assignment for the day. And guess what? Satan will give you a lot of other things that will be a substitute for your prayer time. And you'll end up doing a lot of good things. But did you do what God had assigned for you that day? Because if you don't pray, then you are not going to get the assignment. So if Satan can stop you from praying, he can stop receiving that daily bread that God designed for you to have every day. Give us this day our daily bread. That means there's something coming from heaven every day. And if you don't pray, then you bypass it. How many of y'all see this? You see, Satan will come in and tell you, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to take care of this, do this. And he'll get you busy doing things, and you don't have time to pray. Well, you're missing out on the resources that God provided for you for that day. The devil will have you doing things that are not contributing to your purpose or your destiny by tempting you with things that will make you idle or unproductive. See, you might be doing something good. You might be doing what you got to do. You know, you got to go to work and things like that. But there may be something else God wants to give to you that day that will push you further into the destiny and the plan and the call that he has for your life. But if you don't get that daily provision from God, then you'll miss out on that, and you'll be existing and just living like everybody else in the world, but living without that divine inspiration that comes from God. Because when I come pray, sometimes he changes my plans. You know, I always have a plan what I'm going to do that day, but I can come in and spend 2 hours in here, or an hour and a half, or an hour in here in the morning time. When I come to work, I'll come over here and pray, or I'll pray at home before I leave. And God will always inspire me with something else that I didn't plan. Or he'll even give me things that he want me to do. But when I miss those days, then I just start living off what is familiar to me. I just start doing what's familiar and what I got to do in the natural. But those things might be just taking you straight away from what God done really planned for you. And that's why Christians don't have power when it comes to temptation. That's why they are weak, and that's why they give in so easily, because they don't have that power that come from direct communication with God on a daily basis. Jesus said men ought always pray, and he told his disciples, he said, you better get up and pray, or you're going to enter into a time of testing. So when Satan say you're not praying, he know then that he can devise a good plan for you for that day. Hey, I got them where they don't even think prayer is important. And you'll be doing a lot of good things, but none of it that's contributing to why you're here. Satan is the tempter. Not only is he a liar and a thief and a murderer, he's also the tempter. The tempter is one who tries or tests one's faith, their virtue, their character, by enticement to sin. In other words, he will solicit you to sin. And when he solicits you to sin, you say, well, Pastor, I ain't committing no sin. Did you pray? No, I ain't prayed today. Well, you just sinned. If the Bible says pray without ceasing, that's a command. That means you should always be in an attitude of prayer. That means that prayer is communication with God. It's not just one way, just you talking. It's you speaking your heart and then listening to God speak his heart back to you. Prayer is about two-way communication. And I thank God. I thank God that, you know, I'm not where I need to be in prayer. But that's something that the Holy Spirit will never let me get away from. I know I have to pray if I'm going to accomplish God's will. If I'm going to do his will, then I must spend time with him to find out what he wants me to do every day. Because I can think what's important, and it might not even be important at all. I learned that from working at an international paper, that I'd work out my schedule, and I had my projects, and I had my assignments, and I'd be working on them. I said, oh, I got to do this here. And the Holy Ghost would start speaking to me other things that need to be done. And I say, yeah, I know it got to be done, but I ain't got time right now. I ain't had time to do what God told me need to be done. I'm doing what my mind and what my intellect and what my intelligence telling me what I need to do. And then it didn't take me long out there to figure out I better not lean on my own understanding, and I better do what's pressing on me. And I've learned that when God pressed something on me and it won't go away, I know he's trying to talk to me, and he's trying to get me to do something that needs to be done, even though my mind might think that it ain't important. I need to obey what he's telling me to do. And when I do, then I always have good results. Because the Holy Ghost is not going to lead you in error. He's not going to lead you in sin. He's not going to lead you in failure. He's not going to lead you into defeat. He's going to always lead you in victory. Amen. Say, Pastor, how you know you always have victory? Because Jesus always had victory. How many times did Jesus fail? Not a single time. It's not the will of God for you to have one single solitary defeat in your life. He wants you to win. He wants you to overcome. Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew 4:3 says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. See, the tempter. See, Satan put on another face, and he came as the tempter, the enticer. He's trying to get Jesus to use his power for his flesh. Jesus said, it is written. See, he pulled the sword out of the Spirit. That word that was quickened to him by the Holy Ghost. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. End of that deal. You notice that Satan never talked to Jesus about food anymore? You never find no more record of him ever talking to Jesus about no more food. Do you? No, what did Jesus do? He started multiplying food. He could have turned them stones into bread easy. He multiplied bread and fish. But see, he was only hearing from heaven. I only do what I see my Father doing. I only speak what I hear my Father saying to me. So we know that Jesus was a man of prayer, so much so that the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Show us to pray like you pray. Prayer is important. So don't let Satan take that weapon from you. Reconsecrate yourself to prayer. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Men ought to always pray and not faint. The Bible says to pray fervently. The Bible says pray with the understanding and with the spirit in tongues. Prayer is the place where the mysteries of your life are revealed, where you receive God's provision, his protection, his purpose, his power, and his peace. Prayer is a place of revelation. Hallelujah. Listen, praying in other tongues. I know that people don't believe in it, but I'm going to tell you what I believe in, and I believe in it with all my heart. Amen. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost and be filled with the Spirit so you can pray in other tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who? God. But unto God, for no man understanding him. However, in the Spirit, he speaketh what?
Mysteries.
Or divine truths or hidden secrets. So there's things about my future that are hidden that are a mystery. Right? Anybody know what they're going to be doing 5 years from now? Anybody know what they're going to be doing next week? You might have a schedule out what you plan on doing, but you don't know how all that's going to come out right now. You're just planning. You know, you're making preparation. You might have scheduled a trip or a vacation or got something even planned next year sometime. But it's a mystery to you how all that's going to come out. But when you pray in other tongues, those mysteries about your life and about your family and about your destiny will be revealed to you. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Hallelujah. I was praying in tongues one morning, and the Lord said, you just entered your last year at International Paper. I knew I had another year. That was it. Then he spoke another word to me, new source of income. I didn't know what all that meant. That was all a mystery to me when I heard it, but I kept on praying. He said, you're going to reap from the fields from which you've sown. Then he told me where my harvest was coming from. I got all that in prayer.